bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 383, to be broadcast February 20th, 2024, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment below. We should be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening on Facebook Live, you can comment on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of the week. Yes, it's February. Snow, ice, sandy roads, tough to ride outside. Only for the toughest. To you, I salute. I mentioned in spin class this morning about someone they had seen out on their bicycle, all bundled up and balaclava and face completely covered and all that. And, you know, the discussion became, how in the world do you do that? Well, it's a hardy soul that does something like that. That's for sure. Makes a big difference if you've got a hardy soul. I am not that good about being out in the cold weather any longer. And so my acceptance for being cold is not as great as it used to be. But, you know, there are people out there that do it, and I got to give them a lot of credit. You know, you take a look at, like, a city like Minneapolis and, you know, top cycling city in the United States. It gets cold there in the wintertime, and yet they still have top cycling city status, which means that their infrastructure has to be kept clear enough for the bicyclists to get out and do what they have to do. And, you know, it's impressive. It's very, very impressive. I am not that guy. So anyway, to you, I salute very much so. And ranting away, why are we building more parking garages? Why are we providing more places for people to park and drive cars when, you know, the world is changing? More and more people are getting out riding their bicycles. More and more people are using their feet to get themselves from one place to another place, moving into city areas where there's good transportation that can transport them back and forth. Why in the world are we building these gigantic parking garages? There's a big project that's going on called The Standard in Stores, which is an off-campus housing apartment complex. 392 dwelling units, 800 people, basically, it will house. And there are these just tremendously large parking garages. This is a mile from campus. It's not that far away. A mile from campus is very, very rideable. Why aren't we increasing and considering a safe bike lane and a bus lane? I don't see this in their plans. So that's my rant. And as we're ranting, why every e-biker should be worried about New Jersey's proposed micro-mobility insurance law. But of course, this and more in the show. On a positive side, how cycling makes you smarter and happier. Hey, that's me. I'm smarter and I'm happier because I ride my bike. So how you can maximize the mental benefits of a good ride. So we're going to get into that a little bit into the show. And what happens if you ride your bike every day? Say if you cycle every day. Cardiovascular diseases such as high blood pressure, cholesterol, chances of stroke and heart attack can be managed and reduced respectively by cycling regularly. It stimulates and improves circulation. According to research, you should burn at least 8,400 kilojoules, or about 2,000 calories per week, through exercise. Do you do that? Check and see. It's a good thing. And then 9 benefits of biking 30 minutes a day. We're going to explore more of this as we get into the show today because, you know, there's so much good stuff about riding a bicycle. I just, you know, obviously you got the guy who just is somewhat obsessed by it. And I'm just the preacher, man. I'm just passing on the good word. I love to ride my bike. I love everything that my bike does for me. And I'm hoping that maybe this might encourage you to do the same thing if you're new to me and new to this particular show. But if you're not, I know I'm just chanting the same old chant, but that's okay. We get inspired in the wintertime. We have to talk about things like this so that we get all excited about what happens in the spring. So I know it's not cycling. All right. I'm still on my positive side here. I know it's not cycling. But anyone out there following the UConn Huskies basketball teams? Wow! This is a really, really, really exciting time of the year in Storrs, Connecticut. Anyway, I attend a lot of the games, and I was just at a game yesterday, which is why my show is not on at its normal time. My Facebook Live show is not on at its normal time because I was at a basketball game. Yeah, I know bicycling is my priority, but sometimes, you know, other things come along too. But anyway, keep your eyes on those UConn Huskies. There's a lot of things going on there right now, and it's pretty exciting stuff. So anyway, we will move on to that not later in the show. So Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. It's winter. Do the work, and spring will be an even happier time. So even though the majority of the world teams rotate through Spain for at least few weeks during the winter, pro cyclists have been drawn to the Mediterranean for years, for about a decade now, but the Spanish boom really took off, or even the French and the Italian teams prefer going to Spain. Can't afford a trip to Spain? I get it. I understand, you know. But, you know, that's where all the cool people are right now. So, anyway, you can't afford that trip to Spain. Try an indoor cycling class or a home cycling on a trainer, like with an app, like a Ruvi app or a Zwift app or something like that. It's about hours and time in the saddle that can really help you make that transition to the roads or the trails more enjoyable. So that's kind of the direction I'm heading to in this show today. How do you train for cycling in the wintertime? Winter cycling tips. Okay, here we are. 10 helpful steps. Make a plan, number one, that focuses on your goals. What's your goal? Is your goal to increase your ability to ride your bike back and forth to work or school? Is your goal to get out on a group ride or two and have some fun with that? Maybe join your local cycling club and do that sort of thing. Is your goal to get yourself fit enough so maybe you can participate in a fundraiser or a local fundraiser or even a national fundraiser that's going to help raise money for people that are in need? You know, what are your goals? Where do you want to be? Or is your goal just that you want to feel better because you're just not feeling too psyched these days about everything around you, life in general, whatever. And you listen to shows like this one or read articles like some of the things I'm going to bring up today. And you go, gee, maybe I should give this cycling thing a try. It's a good thing. So first of all, make a plan that focuses on your goals. Big one here, really, really big. Do not, I repeat, do not give yourself ridiculous goals, unnecessary and unachievable goals. Unachievable goals will lead you right down the road to disaster. So don't do that. Baby steps. If you're just getting into something, anything, even if it's not cycling, don't just dive in head first and not have some sort of a plan to like slowly step your way in. As you slowly step your way in, you'll find it's much more enjoyable. So that brings you to periodize your plan, right? Figure out where you're going to be along the way, where you would like to be along the way, and don't get really, really disappointed if you didn't make it at the end of, let's say, the end of April. You're not quite really where you really wanted to be. Don't make that derail your plan, all right? Really, really, really good. Test yourself occasionally and track your improvements. That's one where I like to encourage people to set up a weekly or bi-weekly, maybe even monthly time trial on the bike. You got this favorite course that you like to go out and ride on, then just go out and nail it for everything you've got, and make sure you're doing it in a safe place. We don't want anybody blowing through any stop signs or traffic lights or anything like that. So you find a safe place in which to do it and go out and test yourself and see where you're at. It's a great thing to do. As you get more and more fit and you get become more and more comfortable on your bike, it's always good to go from, say, monthly to maybe by, every 2 weeks to every week, whatever it is. Don't test yourself every single day. No. Don't forget to rest. Really, really important. And make it fun. It's got to be fun. If it's not fun, why would you do it? Why would you torture yourself? You don't want to do that. You don't want to torture yourself. Yeah, you want to push yourself. You want to get yourself to go a little harder, a little faster. Maybe that's your goal and what you're looking for. Maybe it's not your goal. Maybe you're just out to ride your bike because it's fun. So make it fun. Make sure that it stays fun. It's got to stay fun. If it doesn't stay fun, then it kind of defeats the purpose here. Train smart, not hard. Okay, that's a big loaded question right there. How do I train smart and not hard? How does that work? Training hard will give you obviously will stress your body and will make your body respond in different ways and repair and rebuild after you train hard in and all. But if you train hard all the time, you're not going anywhere. You're gonna stay right where you are. It's not gonna change. So if you train smart, that changes everything. Did I mention two steps before this? I said something about don't forget to rest. Part of training smart is remembering to rest. Okay, so you gotta just look at this. You're not an Olympic athlete. If you are an Olympic athlete and you're listening to my show, I am very surprised, but I'm not at that level. But that is good for you if that works, and please leave your comments if you are. But the average person that's out riding a bike is probably the person that's paying attention to the show, and you want to just kind of pay attention also to training smart. And maybe that should be part of your plan this year and part of your goals. I'm going to train smarter. I'm going to ride my bike smarter. I'm going to learn how to ride in traffic this year because I have a commute that I could do and I could get myself back and forth to work. And, it's all part of being smarter on the bike. I like to think that only the smart people ride bikes, but, obviously that's an opinion. And we're not going to go anywhere with that one, are we? But anyway, Let's move forward here. Train your weaknesses, but don't lose sight of your goals. So, what does this mean? Train your weaknesses. I go out and ride my bike, and I do great on my bike, and I get to the first hill, and I just am terrible at it. I can't get over the hill. I'm gasping for air. I feel like I have to stop halfway up the hill. That might be a weakness, okay? That might be something that you need to pay a little bit more attention to. So train your weaknesses. Or maybe if it was like I was back in the days when I was racing my bicycle, I could climb anything, anytime, anywhere. That wasn't really my problem. I have a very small body, and my strength to weight ratio was really, really tight. So I was kind of this little skinny muscular guy that could climb hills like they weren't even in front of me. Now they were in front of me. I could feel them, but compared to the people I was riding with, I had a much stronger presence there. Where my weakness was when I got on a flat road especially if there was a headwind, and I just suffered. I just could not get out of my own way. So I had to learn how to change my riding style a little bit and actually spend maybe a little more time doing that and a little less time doing the things that came easy to me. So train your weaknesses, but don't lose sight of your goals. Really, really important. And here's a big one, and it's one that I am so incredibly guilty of. I'm really guilty on this one, big time. And we talked a little bit about this last week. We talked about different things you can do off the bike that will help make you a stronger cyclist. That was in my previous episode. Don't be afraid of the weight room. God, I hate the weight room. I don't like it. I don't like being there. I don't like doing any of that. But here I am. I'm daunting myself into not going to the weight room. Don't do that. Don't. We got don'ts going flying right and left here. So what you want to do is take that schedule. What it will see, we started at the top of this list, which was make a plan. So part of your plan has got to be maybe putting in a day in the weight room. It doesn't have to be a day. It just needs to be 20 minutes, half an hour, or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a tremendous amount of time there, but maybe it's going to be some time. It's going to focus on the things that will make you stronger on your bicycle. Even if, I talk about this all the time with people because one of those things you can do anywhere, anytime, even if you're at work, even if you are just doing nothing at your house at night, whatever, doing what they call, I'm trying to think of the actual name of it, like wall seats or whatever. Anyway, you put your back up against the wall and you drop down to a seated position and you just hang out there for a little while. It hurts. It's hard. Your quads will be screaming at you. Guess what? Use those quads a lot when you ride your bike. So if you can do wall sits, they will actually help you get stronger. It'll also force you to tighten up your abs, which will eventually improve your position and your power on your bike, all these wonderful things. There's a lot of things you can do. You just got to find the things that you will do, and you got to make room for them in your schedule sometime during your day or maybe just during your week. So don't be afraid of the weight room, because the weight room really does help. I just started doing some things recently. I'm not super excited about it. It's not my favorite thing because it's just, to me, it's very, very boring. But I do know that when I do this, I do get results. So, yeah, maybe you should think about the weight room. It's a good thing. Speaking of thinking about things, and we will put this in here, why you should rethink your spinning obsession. Yeah, there are people that are actually obsessed with spinning. They just are on that bike every single day. I know them. I see them. It's not uncommon. I get on the bike every day, but I'm also very, very careful about how I plan out my weeks and how I do not go especially hard some days. Now, some days I go especially easy, but I still teach my class, and I'm on the bike, and I'm going through the motions, and it's something that I do, but I would not consider it obsessive. I would consider it, it's one of my jobs. It's what I do. So I actually, you know, I am a fitness trainer, so therefore that's the way I go. So we can talk a little bit more about this in the show. Maybe we can get here right now. Actually, let's see here. So what else did I have here, which is really, really interesting? Indoor versus outdoor cycling. Which is better? Well, I'm going to tell you my personal opinion. It's outdoors. Why? Because you're outdoors. you can smell and you can listen and you can, you know, it's like, you know, when you first start out in the spring and things are really starting to cook, you know, getting warm outside, you hear the birds and you smell all the smells of spring. I mean, I don't get that in the gym. I don't get that in my family room downstairs. That sensation you will never experience unless you're outdoors. So I kind of like the outdoors. But anyway, this article came out of, I think, a Time magazine or something. Feet spinning wildly, favorite tunes playing in the background, fans to cool you down. Spinning can be great fun, but is it as good for you as feeling the wind blowing through your hair in the open road? Well, here we go. Whichever way, cycling is a great thing for cardio, even if it is, and is even recommended for people who have chronic stroke to help them their heart rate recover. So yeah, it's good for you. It's a great way to like they say here, to rehab from an injury of some sort, a cardiovascular injury. It's a really, really good thing to do. So, you know, maybe it's a good thing for you to do if that's what you will do. It's like Fran and I talk about this all the time on the show. We see, and she asked me on her show, and I ask her on my show, what's the best exercise to do? The best exercise to do is the one you'll do. Personally, mine is cycling. That's what I really, really enjoy more than anything else. So cycling really works for me. Why do I enjoy it? Because of all the things you hear here on the show with me. You hear me get really, really excited about the, you know, the smells of spring, and whether it be skunk cabbage, cow manure, or just, you know, the blossoming, flowering bushes that are out there. I mean, it can be anything. It really can. But it's just, you know, it's that sensation that your body goes through, and that reminder of, oh yeah, I remember this. You know, this is really cool. I mentioned weird things like cow manure and skunk cabbage because I live in the country and we have a lot of both. So therefore, you're going to experience that. Is it a bad thing? You know, I guess if you're offended by the smell, it could be bad, and some people don't like that. But, you know, come around the corner and or turn onto another road and it's all gone because you're past the cows or you're past the swamp that has all the skunk cabbage growing. It's not that big a deal. You know, you just like, oh yeah, I remember that. You know, that's cool. And then you come around the next corner and all you can smell are flowers. You know, I particularly enjoy when the lilacs come into full bloom, because it's like you'll go through pockets of air on the roadways where, you know, there's a bunch of lilac bushes and all you can smell are lilacs, and it's great. It's gorgeous. The wild roses, when they come out, oh, there's nothing like it. And I because I grew up on a farm, I kind of like the smell of cow manure. It's okay. It reminds me of something that is that is familiar to me. So it's not a terrible thing. But anyway, it's what you get when you go out and ride your bike. You get all these wonderful sensations. It's really, really cool. So anyway, I like being outside more. So you can go out, but you can go on an indoor bike. You can crush a 20-mile ride in a 45-minute class. And, you know, yeah, it's not really 20 miles. And, yeah, it's kind of virtual in many ways. But it's still, you know, it's still something that's in front of you. It's a number that you can reflect upon. It's something you can go back to and compare it to another time. And, you know, maybe two or three weeks later, you go out and you do that same 45-minute workout on the bike, and you find yourself going 21 or 22 miles during that time. I mean, yeah, it's virtual, it's on that bike, but still, there's a consistency to that. So these are exciting times when things like that happen. It always is a cool thing. So anyway, before you hit the road, there's a few things you should know, all right? And So you want to, you definitely want to work on doing some sort of an interval training program at least 2 days a week is what I like to tell people. That's generally the way it works. 2 to 3 days a week for me in the wintertime is about all I do as far as a high intensity, high stress interval workout. But that's how I get stronger. That's how I get better. Other times, I'm working on keeping my cadence high. I'm working on keeping my position good on the bike. I've recently discovered between the yoga that I do and the yoga I teach and also the cycling I'm teaching, even when it comes down to at the end of the class and we do a little bit of stretching after class, the real benefit of tilting forward from the pelvis when you bend down to do any kind of stretching. And so I've been really trying to hyper-focus on that lately, and as I am doing that, I'm starting to do a little bit more of that positioning exercise on the bike itself, and you're going to get more power out of it, and it's good. And you're also, if you're off the bike and you're stretching, you get a better stretch out of it too. So a little bit more effort on not just bending over when you're reaching down towards the floor to quote unquote stretch, and even if you're doing a hamstring stretch or anything like that, to really try to bend from the pelvis more. So kind of sticking your butt back out a little bit more and bending forward from the pelvis. It's commonly taught in yoga classes, and so I'm learning about it more, I'm getting better at it, and it makes me feel better when I get on the bike. So can't argue with any of that, and my back is a lot happier than it used to be too. So, you know, there's things you can do. So you really need to work on position is as well as working on cadence and how fast you can move your legs around. So when you do get out on the road, you've got yourself trained by repetition to a method that is going to give you a better ride on the road when you get out and ride your bike. And hopefully, you'll be able to translate this over really nicely. I will tell you, the first couple of rides after you've been indoors for a winter and riding on an indoor fitness bike or a spin bike or whatever it is that you're riding on, trainer, whatever, the first few rides are a little eye-opening as far as, gosh, I thought I was going to feel better when I got on my bike. And my general observation is I don't really feel that right away. 3 or 4 rides in, all of a sudden it just seems to click and I feel a lot better. And then I realize that all the hard work paid off. But I try to put hours on my legs before I get out on the road. And, you know, I've talked about that in past episodes on Bicycle Talk. You know, hours, not miles. Hours, not miles. Did I say anything about hours, not miles? I'm going to remind you of that. Don't get crazed with your mileage. Don't do that. It's just going to send you down a troublesome road in the future. If that's your motivation, if that's what works for you, great. But I do not encourage it, especially to anyone who's getting into cycling as a newbie, because it's a really, really interesting trap that you can fall into. And then you can come to the point where you get to July and you've been like pounding miles, and you're adding them all up and you're getting all excited. And then one day you wake up in July and you go to ride your bike, you pick up your bike and your bike is like really heavy and you have no motivation to do it because you got a little crazy with the mileage. So be careful. It's a slippery slope and you can get yourself in trouble. So here we go. A study from 2010 found that after 12 weeks of cycling, cholesterol levels did indeed drop, signaling the potential of indoor cycling to help people with weight loss. That's a good thing, right? Get your cholesterol down. Get your all your ducks in a row. Get your body in order. That's a good thing. So it if you're staying indoors and that's better for you because that's what works into your schedule, maybe you've got kids at home, maybe you can't get out and do that sort of thing, maybe you have a work situation which doesn't allow you to get out, it's still better to at least get on the bike indoors and do what you need to do. So that's okay. But boy, if you can get outside, the world changes because you get to see so much more. You get to experience much more. Your senses are really enlightened and awakened when you get outside. So I like to transform more to an outdoor type of riding than indoor when it gets nicer outside. And I even had used, like last year, I spent a lot more time focusing on riding my bicycle to my class because my classes don't want to go away in the summertime. And as much as I'd like to take the summer off, sometimes I can't do that. So I do get a substitute to handle a couple of my classes a week, but then the other classes I'm still teaching. And I get up really early in the morning and I ride my bike there. And it's like the most incredibly cool experience. The waking up and it's still a little dark outside and you roll out of your driveway and it's just starting to crack, the daylight's starting to come around right when it really hits, when the crack of dawn happens, all of a sudden you start hearing birds and just that whole sensation of everything awakening around you as you're riding your bike down the road. And the fact that a lot of people aren't up yet. So you're pretty much riding your bicycle in a car-free environment or a very car-light environment, which is really kind of sweet. That's a beautiful thing. So I will, again, in the summertime when things get really, really nice out, I will ride my bike to my class. I will ride my bike back home. And then I'll also have an hour of time on the bike indoors, which I put hours down. I'm big on the hours thing. I put the hours down. And then when the weekend comes along, I am often leading a bike ride. And I belong to a local bike club. And I often am one of the primary people that's out there leading a ride. It's generally a gentle, instructional ride is what I try to get myself involved with. And I'll find myself out doing this ride. And it's... usually a little bit more time on the bike outdoors. So instead of being just a 1 hour outdoors riding up to and then back home from the community center, it'll be maybe a 2 or 3 hour ride on the road, and it just changes the experience around. And it's great. It's just great. It's just wonderful. Plus, I get to ride with all my friends, and we just chatter and have a good old time, and it's just great. Great, great, great. Billy. Too Tall Billy says, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are good days to spin. Take time off. And that's good. I agree. And yeah, I don't know if mine are the most attended, Billy, but yeah, my rides are fun. I like to make them fun. It's like that's what we're there to do. We're there to have fun, ride our bikes, talk about stuff, stop somewhere, get a good cup of coffee, maybe a little snack to go along with it, and then get back on our bikes and ride again. That's it. That's what life is all about. It's called living your life. It's great. It's wonderful. And that's really, really a good thing. So yeah, I'm real biased here. Indoor cycling has its benefits. The time issue is a big, big deal. I only have 45 minutes to work out. That's a time issue. You can do it outside, but I understand it requires a different mindset in order to do that. And I get that. I get that. But when you start figuring it out and figuring out the time it takes for you to get yourself ready to get on the indoor bicycle, and then the time you spend on the indoor bicycle, and then the time you spend off of it afterwards, you can do the same thing on an outdoor bike, but You know, you just got to think about it a little bit more. That's all. And then once you do, maybe that's a direction you can go. I'm not trying to take away any business from any of the local gyms here, but, you know, the smell of the air in the gym is just not the same as the smell in the air outside. What can I say? And if you don't agree with me on that one, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. So anyway, according to Harvard Medical School, stationary biking is one of the best calorie burners out there. But the main factors that dictate calories burned aren't being indoors or outdoors, but a person's body weight and the intensity of the cycle. For a 125-pound individual, stationary cycling burns 210 to 315 calories in 30 minutes, depending on the intensity of the exercise. And outdoor cycling ranges from 240 to 495 calories burned in 30 minutes based on speed. For a 155-pound individual, stationary biking burns 260 to 391 calories in 30 minutes, depending on the intensity, and outdoor cycling ranges from 298 to 614 burned in 30 minutes based on speed. For a 185-pound individual, burning stationary biking burns 311 to 466 in 30 minutes, depending on the intensity, exercise, and outdoor cycling ranges between 355 and 733 calories burned in 30 minutes based on speed. So, what do we say here? And if you're over 200 pounds, obviously those numbers continue to go up. That's the way it works. There is a direct correlation to this. So, what it shows us is that riding outside is actually going to be more effective in burning your calories and doing the work that you're looking to do than riding indoors. And, you know, I try to simulate hills in my classes, and I've got a couple of different techniques, one of them with which we used this morning, and another one which we used last week, which I had a few people crying because it was a very, very difficult workout. But you know, I can kind of put your body cardiovascularly into the same distress that it might be outside on a hill. I can't produce a hill in front of you on an indoor bicycle. Not the same way. It's just not the same. Think about it. When you're sitting on an indoor bicycle, okay, the bicycle is stationary, the bicycle is heavy, that's a good thing, it's stable, that's nice, right? But you don't have to carry it up the hill, all right? When you go outdoors, your bike may be incredibly light, but it still adds an extra anywhere from, you know, whatever your bike weighs. I'll start at like 15 pounds for those who have the super duper light bikes, all the way up to maybe 30 pounds of weight that you might be carrying while you're hey Heath, how you doing, that you're riding up that hill or whatever. But that is extra weight that you are carrying that you are not going to carry indoors. So why does it feel harder when I ride a hill outdoors? Because you're carrying more weight up the hill. That's, I mean, it's a light bike, but it's still not lighter than sitting still on a bicycle indoors. So there's going to be a factor there that you have to take a look at. So it's important to realize the differences. That's why it's always just a little bit harder to ride your bike outdoors. We just went through this whole listing of calories that are burned between an outdoor cycle for 30 minutes and an indoor cycle for 30 minutes. And there's part of it right there, because you are carrying that bicycle with you. Yeah, when you go down hills, you get to spin out and you can get to coast or do whatever you got to do. That's really great. But you're still, whenever there's any kind of workload that is put into that bike, you are still carrying that bike along with your effort that you're doing. So, you know, that's when you go outdoors, you know, you don't have an instructor there egging you on and telling you when to go hard and how much resistance to add and all that. But maybe you've got some friends that you're riding with that you just happen to be maybe lightly competitive with. So you're going to push a little bit harder because of the people you're riding with. Maybe you're riding with a group that is just barely beyond your level of fitness, and so you're going to work a little bit harder to stay with them. There's different things that will motivate you in different ways. One of the big things that I encourage people, and I was just having this conversation last night after teaching a class over at a different gym that I work at, and he was talking about there is a group ride format that goes out of a place called Joann Fabrics parking lot over in South Windsor, Manchester area. And it's, as he referred to it, and please don't be offended if you are listening to this and you participate in those weekly, but he tells me, you know, it's the weekly stupid ride. And and we were discussing the reasons why we both feel the same way about that ride. There are a number of people that show up to that ride because they want to go fast. That is the general theme of that ride, is to go out flat out as fast as you can for as long as you can or for as long as the ride lasts. And it's a weekly, I can't say it on the air. But anyway, it is a weekly test for some people as to what their level of fitness is and what they can handle. So the problem with that is it is often not attended by people who are sufficiently trained to ride in group atmospheres with safety in mind. How's that? Is that as politically correct as I can get? And what happens is people show up to the ride and they've been out riding their bikes for maybe the other days of the week, or maybe they haven't been riding their bikes for other days of the week and this is the only ride they do, and they don't have the experience to be able to handle their bicycle in that high level situation. So the ride gets what we have always referred to over the years as either spooky or squirrely. And if you've ever been going down the road and had a squirrel run out in front of you, whether it be in your motorized vehicle or on your bicycle, you know the squirrel gets halfway across the road and has a really difficult time making a decision as to whether they should keep going or whether they should turn back, and because they can sense a vehicle coming up upon them. And they're back and forth, and you're just trying to hold a straight line and hope that you don't hit the thing, that squirrel. And so, you know, people can be put into that category too, where they're riding down the road nice and straight and doing really good, and then all of a sudden they make some sort of an oddball move because they're either avoiding a pothole in the road or a crack in the road or maybe something on the road that they're trying to get around so that they don't end up having an accident. And they, instead of making a long-term decision at that by looking where you're going instead of where you are, they make a very quick and fast decision that ends up communicating back to anyone behind them that is not a good wheel to be on. And a lot of times that is the type of rider that shows up on a ride like I am talking about, or it's the rider that shows up that is just not trained at a level of speed that ride might be going at, and therefore they are, I guess the best way I put it is hanging on for dear life to stay on the ride and riding at an ability level which is over their general ability, and therefore they ride very unpredictably and dangerously because they are just trying to eke out every last ounce of power they can out of their bicycle that they don't have. And so, you know, that's why that ride has been labeled kind of as a crazy ride, and one that I will never attend, because I would rather ride with people that are riding 2 to 3 miles an hour slower and yet have the experience to be able to, let me say here, efficiently bump into one another without falling down. And I'm good with, I don't mind if someone bumps into me. I really don't, as long as they know what they're doing. As long as they're not doing it maliciously, or as long as they're not doing it because they're completely out of control on their bike. If you bump into me, you bump into me, no big deal. You know, I raced bikes for years. Our hands touched each other. Our shoulders touched each other. Elbows. You know, we just, you're tight. And you're, but everybody knew what to do and knew how to handle it. So therefore, I felt much safer in that controlled situation than I do on most group rides. There it is. It's said. So, you know, it's you just want to get out and ride in the most efficient way that you can, and also in the most controlled way that you can, and enjoy the ride. And, you know, if that doesn't work for you, if riding in a big group like that doesn't work for you, I get that. That's fine. Just go ride by yourself. That's fine. That's fine, too. You won't be able to enhance your skills in group riding if you ride by yourself all the time. And then if you think that all of a sudden, well, I just went out and I cranked out X miles per hour on my bicycle on that last ride, I'm going to go try out the group ride now and show them what I've got, stay away. Don't go. Please don't go. Please, please, please don't go. Don't go there trying to prove anything. If you want to go anywhere and try to prove something, then you need to talk to a local racing club, and you need to get yourself involved in rides with them where you're riding with people who have the experience to show you how to ride without hurting others while you're riding your bike. As I have told so many people for so many years, ride your bicycle like everyone else's life depends upon it, and you'll probably be a safer rider. So, words of wisdom from good old Pedalin' Ron. I've got tons of them, but you know, that's it. So, do I ride outside? Do I ride inside? Personally, I do both. I do both. The indoor cycling, I will say, is for me is a great way for me to focus my training, because I can really dial it in better because I'm on a bike that is very stable, and that's a good thing. And also the atmosphere of which I'm riding is also controlled, because the bike is consistent with what it was the last time it was on, from the amount of wattage that I'm putting out and what it's giving me for information. That's all real good. Plus, I can look at that while I'm riding more so than I would if I was outdoors. It's harder to pay attention to that because you have to pay attention to everything around you all the time. So I would say that the indoor cycling has an advantage as far as that goes. The outdoor cycling has an advantage in everything else you can ever imagine about riding a bike. Enough said. That's it. So at the end of the day, both indoor and outdoor cycling are equally awesome and offer a lot of similar benefits. But are they the same in terms of circumstance, workout, or payoff? In a nutshell, no. To put it plainly, riding 20 miles on a stationary bike is not the same as riding 20 miles on the road. Now, I'm reading this from this article that we originally started out with. No matter what you choose, crushing a cycling workout of any kind is surely a way to make you feel like a total bad bunny, we'll call it, on a bike, and yield a bunch of benefits. So, calories burned in 30 minutes for people of different weights. You know, you can definitely get calories. You can get all these benefits from it. But when you ride outside, it's a game changer. It really is a game changer. So my feeling is, if you're listening to this and you're a dyed in the wool indoor cyclist, spin person, Zwift, Ruvi, whatever you do, and that's all you have time for, then great, that's wonderful. But if you are looking at it for enhancing your experience outdoors, get your butt outdoors as soon as you can. Really, seriously, I think it's a good thing. So I'm going to move on to other things here. Why you should maybe be rethinking your spinning obsession. Yeah, remember we talked about people that get obsessed about this? It's crazy. I hear it all the time. And, you know, just, you know, I just don't ride outdoors. I don't like riding outdoors. I don't like riding on group rides. I don't like doing all that. But boy, I got to get on that spin bike every single day. I just got to go, and I got to go. And not only do I have to get on that spin bike every day, I got to get on that spin bike, and I got to crush it every day. Did we talk about rest earlier in the show today? No, you do not have to crush it every day on the bike. You don't have to do that. That's not smart. It's not smart. You're running yourself down a road to injury, and you'll never get any better if that's all you do. You're just going to go out and you're going to crush it every day. And if that does something for your brain, then your brain is certainly not in the same place that my brain is, because I have that three-letter word that keeps popping into my brain that I need to really focus on, and I don't need to focus on it because it just comes natural to me. That three-letter word is fun, and if it's not fun, I'm not interested. I'm really, really not. I just want to ride my bike. I want to have a big smile on my face, and I want to have fun. So, if you're a novice road rider, and you all of a sudden, you know, have decided to get to the spin bike and go out and try to crush it every day, talk to someone who's been on a bike for a little bit longer. Maybe they can help you out as far as that goes. Even your local spin instructor or indoor cycling instructor, as I like to call myself, might have some reference for you to help you move on and experience different things on your bike. I can't tell you how many people I have taken from the spin room and brought outdoors, and now they are outdoor cyclists that also use spinning as a winter replacement or a rainy day replacement or whatever they have to do. So it's good. It's all good. You know, the muscles you use on a spinning bike, gluteus maximus, quadriceps, are some of the largest in your body, so you're using a lot of energy. And sometimes you can get as much as 600 calories an hour out of your bike, which is really, really cool. That's great. But, you know, again, if you're just obsessing with it and you're going out onto the, and you're getting into that spin bike and you're, let's say you're riding, let's be conservative for the person who gets obsessed on the spin bike, and you're riding 5 days a week, I'm being conservative, and you're not riding every day a week, that is yet another issue that you may need to explore. But and you're going out to crush it every single day. You get on that bike and you get done and you feel, you know, an amazing amount of, you know, you feel the endorphins flowing through your brain and everything's going really well and all, and you just can't wait to get on that bike again the next morning and do it again. And that's the way you set yourself up before you go to work, and that works for you. That's great. Think about that rest day. Just saying, think about that rest day. One day on, one day off is a great pattern to fall into. 2 days on, one day off is good if you can handle it, but that's a much higher level of fitness. But you gotta have the day off in there somewhere. So what do you do? How do you, you know, maybe rethink this spinning obsession thing, because, you know, that anything in excess is probably not healthy. I'll leave it at that, okay? And I'm going to move on to the next thing on my list. I'm going to cut that one right out because I don't want to talk about it anymore. So, benefits of riding your bike 30 minutes a day. What about just that? I ride my bike 30 minutes a day. What does that do for you? All right, it increases your strength, your cardiovascular endurance. It helps you develop better balance and so much more. And so, And we're just talking 30 minutes. It increases your endurance. Exercising on a bike for 30 minutes a day will build your cardiovascular and muscular endurance. By putting in consistent effort, you'll notice improvement in your aerobic capacity, enabling you to bike longer on more intense rides. You might also feel higher levels throughout the day because exercise helps boost your overall stamina. That's a good thing. Let's see what else we got here. It's a strength and cardio workout all in one. So you get to ride whether you're on a stationary indoor bike or an outdoor bike. You get a mix of intervals and sprints. And, you know, if you're riding in a hilly area, you're always doing intervals because there's always another hill in front of you, and therefore you're going to do it. So these are things that you can do. What else? Low impact cardio is good for your body. Yep, there it is. It's low impact. And cycling develops you better balance. And, you know, you're pretty much in an eco-friendly exercise place too. So that's also a good thing. There are just so many benefits to riding your bike, even if it's just 30 minutes a day. It's great. It's just great for you. And maybe even you can use it to get somewhere on your bike, to commute with it and all. It's all good. I'm starting to run out of time here, so I'm going to have to bring this thing up to a close, and we'll discuss more of what I had on my list here next week. I had so much to talk about. There's a crazy thing going on in New Jersey with a micro-mobility insurance law. Oh, God. Anyway, don't even get me involved with here, the insurance thing. I'll work on this next week, and I'll bring it to you guys and talk a little bit more about it. I got a little carried away on the indoor cycling here this week. But that's all right. We have plenty of things I can talk about next week, and we'll get to that in a bit. Right now, I am going right on into our events area here, and we are talking about the Fatty Cross in Haddam Neck is coming up on February 25th, and that is on Bike Reg. You can find that. So the Frozen 4 training series starts March 3rd, which is 4 weekends of training races in a closed road industrial park, and that's a very popular thing with the bicycle racers or someone who's learning more about and getting into bicycle racing. The Philly Bike Show Expo is March 16th to the 17th, and it will be at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. That's kind of a fun event. It's a great thing to do. The People for Bikes Leadership Conference is March 26th and through the 29th in Tucson, Arizona. And to my Australian listeners, the Made Homemade Bike Show expands into Australia and will be in June 28th and 29th at the Darebin International Sports Center in Thornbury, Victoria, near Melbourne. The U.S. one will be in Portland, Oregon, and August 23rd through the 25th. The Natchog Epic is coming up. Last week, there were 467 people pre-registered. This week, as of today, 547. It does close out at 800 riders, just letting you know. Ahead of time, it's at the Thompson Speedway in Thompson, Connecticut, and it is a gravel road ride. So that is a really cool thing. The Ride of Silence will be May 15th in stores at the Town Hall, Town of Mansfield Town Hall, and the Community Center, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the future. I am just completely running out of time. I want to finish up with, it's February, so the snowiest month of the year. Well, we're starting to get some snow. It's not the best for road riding, but maybe that mountain bike can get some good use. Anyone out there ever temp riding in the snow? Cycling makes you happy and is good for you. Well, duh. I could have told you that. I know it's not cycling, but, you know, if anybody's watching the Yukon Huskies, it's kind of cool right now. Anyway, moving on. And we do love your listener comments, so please keep them coming. In 2024, what are you looking for? More miles, ride or commute to work, around town, better fitness, or simply enjoying the bike rides that you take by more by slowing down and smelling the roses? I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and lack of places to safely ride? Join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day, park your car or truck, and ride your bike instead. You may just surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment. If you're listening to this on podcast, drop me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, whus.org, and WHUS Stores. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!